afternoon and welcome to good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we're here until the hour of six, and today's subject is one of my all-time favorite. Hey Dwight.
Hey Helmut. What? Speaking about addiction, is that favorite?
Oh yeah. Yeah, oh, look, it's my favorite because it, you know, it deals with the question, hence the heading of the poster, to be or not to be. Yeah. From, you know, Hamlet, Shakespeare. Yeah. That's the question, right? To be or not to be.
But to be what or not to be what?
To be dead or alive, basically, the whole poem, the whole play.
No, I know about Hamlet. Yeah. In our talking point.
To be addicted or not to be addicted. Okay, sorry. Anyway, moving on.
Hi, Almut. To be or not to be addicted. Which is a, actually, it's a good thing we start on, because we can always start on a philosophic perspective.
Yeah.
And then move in.
Yeah. Well, you know why I brought up that piece? Because it's one of my favorite works coming out of the colonial, you know, colonizer world. And the thing is, you know, the reason behind that is because, the whole play basically contemplates, the decision that, okay, what should you do? Should I endure the hardship of life or just die and then rest because life is, death is a sleep of peace. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. When we sleep at night, we also have nightmares. So the uncertainty on whether or not what awaits you on the other side of the afterlife is nightmare or dreams also made Bro Hamlet go like, you know what, on second thought, I'd rather deal with the hardship of life.
But Hamlet's realization, Hamlet, is also one of, of a situation going, which is purely backed in a discussion. I mean, like in my family, we are four brothers. And everything before 1900 was all about, let's get rid of the other three and the eldest child inherits everything. Which obviously also highlights to you a world where in things like a constitution, general rule of law, not rules-based discussions, rule of law, meaning we all abide by the same rule, by the same laws. The laws are central. The laws are undisputed. They are nothing to argue against or debate upon. They are there because we all have to. We all have to live under them. In Hamlet, and that's one of the things why I also liked Hamlet, by the way. And Hamlet was just—it was sad. I didn't like Macbeth because the European or the British, people were starting to make it. Generating superstitions about Macbeth. But when you go and look at Macbeth, Macbeth is also one of his best, one of Shakespeare's works, most best works. Yeah. Because Macbeth is actually what you have seen in most Hollywood productions. The wife wants the husband to succeed. And she literally tells him, listen, you've got to kill your cousin to become King of Scotland. Homeboy goes through with the act. He thought his problems ended there.
And boy, did they start.
Just to be haunted by his own cousin. That's just why Blackadder the First.
Oh, yeah.
Is similar to Macbeth.
Look, that was an accident. Blackadder was just like, you're stealing my horse, then bang.
But in Blackadder's case, the character that Rowan Atkinson plays, Blackadder, it's his mother that tells him, you've got to kill your cousin. Which was the king, Richard the First of England, at this particular battle. And Blackadder goes through with the act, just to end up like Macbeth, to be haunted by the person you kill.
Poor Blackadder. And anyway, today's home run topic for those of you that did not see our poster.
And it's not about theatrics, guys, please.
No, we are not very good at that. Yeah. Okay, good at reading it, maybe, but good at writing it. reading it. That's more of an obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah, so today's main, source of reference for today's discussion is is a report coming out of the National Council. That's a report of the National Council Standing Committee on Health, Social Welfare, and Labor Affairs on its oversight visit to three regions. You have Hardap, Commerce, and Erongo on the effects of Hubbly Bubbly.
Mm. And do you know what's the funniest thing, Hamad?
Mm-hmm.
We would have naturally gotten to this discussion. Not you and I here on the Home Run. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Namibian lawmakers. Yeah. We would have naturally migrated to conversations like this because it's not the first time that lawmakers have spoken about substance abuse. Mind you, alcoholic beverages count as substance abuse.
Yeah.
Because it is, even though your body does produce alcohol,
yeah,
it produces it under a very unique process.
And also quantity.
Yeah, and quantity.
Because 3 days in a row, yeah, not in that quantity.
No. We're not talking about consumption. Your body produces alcohol, dear listeners.
Yeah.
What that process usually is known as, which I partially forgot.
Christians are going for rebaptism after that.
I partially forgot it because of my biology in high school, which was literally 20 years ago. But I played sport, and every sports person and athlete would know.
Yeah.
The moment you get cramps is literally because there was alcohol buildup. Now, it's known as ethanol. It's not alcohol. But ethanol, alcohol, and methanol are close to the same particular cluster of the same product.
Hang on a second. Is it methanol? Yeah, what? Is it ethanol, the science, quote unquote, scientific name of what we just call, as alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So when you look at the particular discussion, how does it happen? How is it created? Well, when you suffer a cramp as an athlete, when you suffer a cramp, it's because of lack of oxygen in your muscles. Lack of oxygen is actually also a double-edged sword. So you're actually penalizing your body twice. Lack of oxygen because now you're exerting energy. Your body's busy burning energy. Mm. Yeah? But as your body's burning energy, your body's also...
So in somewhat of an oxygen deficiency environment.
Exactly. But not the environment.
Yeah.
Your body now needs more oxygen for its muscles because the oxygen goes into the muscles. Uh-huh. So it needs the blood vessels to transport as much. That's why you're breathing in your...
So your heartbeat rises.
You're sucking in more air. Yeah. You're hoping that your... What is that thing's name? The
diaphragm?
The capillaries. The very small veins that you don't see with... You can't see with your eye very quickly. Mm-hmm. The capillaries close to your heart and close to your lungs work faster in terms of the gaseous exchange, meaning they are taking out
more
the carbon dioxide and they are sucking in more of the oxygen. And so the blood system, the blood vessels in your body are there to transport that oxygen and nutrients through your body. Mm-hmm. And that your body now hopes that as you're busy running and doing your physical activity, it's imagine like a delivery driver working at times 100 speed.
Month end where they have a lot of orders coming in, but there's exactly. Only one guy doing the delivery.
Only one guy doing it, everything. And he has to work, he literally has to increase speed to become either Superman, The Flash, or someone else. And he literally has to increase speed. But he can only operate so far because the faster he has to go, the longer he has to do this, the more mistakes are made. Now imagine the mistakes becoming the buildup of ethanol in your muscles. Now, the buildup of ethanol, if it reaches a threshold, a cramp kicks in. And I'm not talking about the cramp that you get when you stretch in your bed while waking up and then the cramp catches you in the foot or in the calf. That could also be it, primarily. But it's also a discussion, but that would be something based upon probably, your body's energy usage. Because what people also forget is that your body burns a lot of energy while you're sleeping. That's why they tell professional...
That's counterintuitive.
Yeah, they tell professional athletes they need to maintain... specifically like rugby players. Rugby players are told they need to maintain a specific muscle mass on their bodies. Because the moment that rugby player, that professional rugby player has practiced during the day, they've done the exercises, the moment they go sleep, they have to take a protein shake. You have your dinner, but then they have to take a protein shake before they sleep. When they wake up in the morning for breakfast, they must take a protein shake. So they need to put in a supplement of energy that the body can burn while you're sleeping. And as you wake up, because the body has burned probably more than what your body, than what you consumed, then they've got to sort of like make that up, because now they've got to drink that supplement and then they've got to eat from there. Hamoud, when I played club rugby, I had to eat like four times a day.
Okay, so moral of the story, if your room, you know, don't have a roommate who plays rugby, and at least don't share a fridge.
Well, that too, but
a rugby guys, and lift me up after this.
Many things that we see, obviously, is that products are produced naturally in this world.
Yeah.
Right? I just gave you the example of alcohol and the ethanol discussion. The downside is, like you started off with the Hamlet reference,
mm-hmm.
it's a question of when does something become too much?
Yeah.
When does something get out of control? When does something go over the top? And which particular demographics does it impact? Those are the specific questions that we're obviously answering today,
yeah.
because it's based upon a report, which is
a piece of work.
It's a jewel. Besides from what you created, Helmut, on the WhatsApp work group.
You know, I have a feeling, you know,
that was disinformation. You know, when you're trying to do harm.
You know, I just learned today that it's very easy to start World War III. And
by just supplementing, or just adding or removing a word that changes a meaning.
Oh, no, you're done. Okay, so let's look at more like, let's look at more like what this whole report is basically based on. This is basically looking at the specific product. And this, by the way, Hubbly Bubbly is not the only one that the report talks about.
Yeah.
They are very nice and graphic, well detailed and well labeled, different types of devices of somewhat similar, similar design.
Yeah.
Just way at the end of the report. Some of them names, I had no idea that, they were
thieves. No, I also never knew about non-nicotine devices.
And I
thought most of the time the vapes were non-nicotine, just to discover that they're also, some of them are also. Oh, electronic non-nicotine.
Yep. You have cigar likes, whatever that is, and you have vape pen. You have Pod, a.k.a. Jew. Thought it was short for Julia. And you have a small disposable puff. And you have a large disposable Eglow and advanced personal vaporizers, MODs, abbreviations everywhere these days.
Mm.
And you have e-hooker. Now, that one, my mind went wild. Now, then you come to there's a whole list of vapes, and then you come to different flavors. Now there's a whole diagram of, I'm telling you, this was just pure biology. I mean, fact that politicians labeled it, maybe with the help of ChatGPT. Who knows?
No, they had literally two administrators somewhat.
So they had a hookah, tobacco type of more like what Hubbly Bubbly set up, yeah. And well labeled. So that's basically what it focuses on. Now, the World War III that I was this close to starting this afternoon was because for those of you that saw the poster, and the heading is to ban or not to ban,
yeah.
in reference to the Hamlet that, you all left the poster in the wrong hands today. But
now I know. Okay, now I know. But yeah.
What forms central to this discussion is the point that you just made. That is, every time that when does a product become more like overused? Like, at this level, we can't have this anymore.
Yeah.
We now have to come in with certain regulations and certain regulations for more like, for safety reasons. So now you're looking at a lot of very confusing situations if you are just having the discussion from a purely to ban or not to ban point of view.
Mm.
Because this is where now you can easily have more like a tug of war between the political sphere and the economic sphere. And this is where you're now looking at, like one of our colleagues pointed out, that you also have to put in consideration the economic ramifications of this, the decisions. If you were, you know, if the only thought you have in mind is just straight up banning.
But let me tell you a story, Hamad, actually, about straight up banning. So the banning mechanism is a weird one. For example, I heard, because of my particular, a sibling of mine's knack for research and discovering and reading literature based upon what colonial administrations created, for example, like in places like Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So what many Namibians don't know, and this is one of the things that I am also very annoyed at the fellow Namibian, is we as fellow we technically, as you know, as Africans, we had traditional beverages,
mm-hmm.
things that you brewed at home.
Yep.
But when, obviously, with the onset of colonialism, which imports or places or imposes rules, standards, and stuff. I mean, Helmut, you had your specific way or recipe that you probably learned from a father or your mother, mm-hmm. in terms of how to brew the same particular sort of like traditional brew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have mine in terms of, which is something passed down as a family particular recipe. But, you know, everyone can replicate it just in a different kind of a flavor, you know, in that scenario. Colonialism destroyed so many products that people had. Some of it predominantly natural.
Like native products.
Native products, you can call, let's use the term indigenous and traditional.
Indigenous, yeah.
Native and indigenous products, which included beverages. And then they bring to you something that comes out of Bavaria in Germany. And they say, you must drink this thing. But how to drink this thing, you've got to pay for it. Back then, when you were brewing your stuff before colonialism, you could make it in your kitchen. Okay, the kitchen obviously being a little bit of a, you know.
A little bit of a stretch.
A stretch, yeah. Because obviously the kitchen could have been any particular space back then. But anyway, so the notion even is.
That's mean, dude.
I know, but it's a reality also. I know, Elmer, but it's a reality. The notion specifically being that you now have to think, well, there was also traditional tobacco products back then. Instead of this particular tobacco product that is a North American product. Tobacco is not indigenous to Africa, like the potato. It is not indigenous to this continent. I'll say it again. Tobacco is not indigenous. Yes, cannabis is indigenous to Africa. We also have to factor in the banned items in our discussion.
Yeah.
Cannabis is indigenous to Africa. Tobacco is not indigenous to South Africa, to Africa.
You know, for most of the discussions that, for most of today's discussion, I'm going to focus a lot on recommendations for one reason.
Mm. I'm gonna force on the field visit.
I'm gonna focus a lot on the recommendation. My reason of focusing much on recommendation is hemp. I mean, these regulations this regulation that was proposed in this recommendation recommended to apply to the products like Hubbly Bubbly and other products that are
other
listed,
tobacco
products,
tobacco based products, yeah.
Based product in this report.
Yeah,
this would be a perfect, more like regulation for hemp.
It's not just that, Helmut. You could also see the what you call it, sort of like the double-sided scenario here. Look how quickly, for example, this is the perception game. Ne? The perception game here is what looks bad for adults, or let's say for society.
And how can we keep it away from the wrong people?
That too.
While giving the right people access.
You'll have to define the wrong people.
Kids.
But kids are not wrong.
Well, those, they are not the wrong. Okay, the product is wrong for them.
Yeah.
Because they did not make the decision to intentionally take it.
And the parents also don't know what kind of a product it is.
Uh-huh.
Helmut, I won't be wrong, and I'm not wrong, when I tell you, I also smoked Hubbly Bubbly when it came to Namibia. And this is 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
But then I realized
how... Is that old?
In its introduction to Namibia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back then, it looked like a novelty because I would only indulge in the particular activity like every 6 months because it is so potent. It's different from a cigarette. You can step away from it immediately in that one use. You can step away. But this report literally shows to me there's an addiction issue in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally an addiction issue.
And now there's a dilemma of how do we just come in and deal with this addiction.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is obviously, this is obviously one very interesting discussion. Now, the wrong people example that I just recently used is, when you talk about, take for example, things like addiction, alcohol is addictive.
Alcohol is?
Yeah. So now, you see, the trick here is, the type of precedent that we're going to set. If we just take for example, that's not what the report is suggesting, that, you know what, wake up the next day and then ban anything, make everything illegal, any tobacco related products, or containing products, make everything illegal. Now, what would basically happen is, your reasoning behind is because they are addictive. Okay. Now the question then comes, what about, what do you do with Coca-Cola? Because of the nicotine, what do you do with coffee?
Yep.
Because, and now, what do you do with, questionable.
No, but here's the thing with coffee. Coffee is caffeine. Coffee is not nicotine.
Coffee is caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the downside of coffee is that New York Times recently had a story about a recently released scientific research about caffeine, coffee,
mm-hmm.
coffee consumption, and aging. That coffee
mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a...
Accelerates the process?
No, it's a healthy agent mm-hmm. for giving you healthy aging in a way. It's not to say base your entire diet just off coffee. But those of you that love drinking coffee,
mm-hmm.
who probably have been told by people, yeah, stop drinking coffee. I don't like know what coffee does. It gives you an addiction issue. At least it's a natural product you're drinking. Even if you're drinking the other coffee substitute.
I'm really hoping my doctor is listening.
Chicory. Even if you're drinking chicory, yeah, which is also a caffeine coffee substitute. Yes, that's what Frisco and what's the other South African brand? Frisco and Ricoffee. That's what Frisco and Ricoffee have. It's mm-hmm. known as chicory.
Yeah.
If you read it on the label, it says chicory.
Yeah.
So chicory was an alternative replacement product during literally when war times, when countries would literally sanction each other through coffee and tea. Remember how America got its independence? Through a tea tax. Because the Americans were like, we're not going to pay more for tea leaves. Yeah, and that there you got a whole revolution. Comes from the most mundane thing ever. A tea tax. Your cup of tea.
Look, I saw some of these things. But the reason why, the reason why, if you can just look at from the beginning, from the beginning of the report, the people that are at the center of this discussion with regards to the, to the frequent use of these products, kids.
Kids and teenagers.
Kids and teenagers. Hence the visits to schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But remember when I said the stigmatization, the image of this discussion. This field visit that the MPs did,
mm-hmm.
some of these kids, their parents know that they smoke hookah and hubbly bubbly and vape. And the parents said, mm-hmm. and they said that the parents accept them,
mm-hmm.
meaning it's an acceptance.
They're like, okay, you know what? You can do that.
This, at least this action somewhat looks innocent, somewhat looks acceptable. I'll allow you. But the question here is, Helmut, hookah hubbly bubbly is smoking, it's not molasses. Molasses is made from sugar. What's the thing's name? That wet tobacco. It's a wet, moist tobacco. The hubbly bubbly, thing that you're smoking.
Look, one of our colleagues here had to explain. I mean, she gave me a whole lecture of how the whole things work.
No, I also know how it works. I can also set it up. But at the top where you've got the little piece of charcoal, there's a little, let's call it a little furnace, a little vent. But the reason why I'm calling it a furnace is because you've got the hot coal on top of the tobacco.
Yeah.
And it's split, literally, it's divided by a little piece of foil, tin foil.
Yeah.
So that's your little furnace. So the furnace is all about the heat, meaning every time you pull through the whole contraption of that whole setup and system.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge as we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage for the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Just a minute past the hour of 5, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and today we are talking about the main character of the day is tobacco products, a.k.a. Hubbly Bubbly is the main character.
It's the main side chick today.
You know one thing I forgot before we started this show? Forgot to call John and try to find out if we can have Hubbly here, you know, just for demonstration. The live stream. But look,
No, Helmut.
2 minutes past the
That would
hour
have been similar
five.
To sitting here with a full on cigar in the studio.
Mm-hmm. And
a cigar. You're not supposed to smoke indoors in business premises. That's Vintuk's bylaws.
Boring. Oh no.
Look, I didn't say it, guys. He's the one that decided to go there.
Look,
I'm a Gen Z response here.
Well, it's your drive time. We have to, you know, happily.
I'm a millennial. I have to be sane, Helmut. I can't be boring.
I am a millennial.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not. When were you born, Helmut?
Recommendations.
Yeah, besides the point, let's get to recommendations.
Before I give you my ID number. Okay, some of the recommendations that I'm really, that was just actually reading through and begging begging both the National Council and the National Assembly to just apply the same point of view to hemp because of the, you know, because what I had in mind is not the get high type, nor the textile products, more like textile raw material type that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago.
Mm.
That, okay, some of the recommendations put, put down here is, the Commonwealth of Health, Social Service and Labor Affairs recommended that, the Tobacco Products Control Committee under the Ministry of Health and Social Service and and in consultation with the National Drug Control Commission, NDCC, exercise power, duties and functions to set out in set out in the Tobacco Products Control Products Control Act 1 of 2010, and propose the following amendments. One, review the Tobacco Products Control Act 1 of 2010 to include Hubbly Bubbly and electronic devices, vaping, and any other imaging tobacco products as a matter of urgency. Now, the reason why I'm starting with that is because this goes to show that the current legislation we have on this subject, aka tobacco product containing products, does not specifically mention all these electronic devices that are used that are containing tobacco. That means we have to add them there before we charge someone for anything. Contravention.
Yeah. Which means that obviously we are getting once again to the National Council or the National Arts Fund discussion once again. Yeah. Minus the section 19.
Yeah. Everything goes.
Yeah. Meaning the process that even those guys went through.
Yeah.
Take this piece of legislation, ask the pivotal question. Is it in line with the trends that are currently coming about? Mm-hmm. Yes. If you answer yes or no, then you'll obviously be able to know what position you can take forward. Let's cite the World War III you almost created on the work group.
Uh-huh.
Remember the question you got and the explainer that I also gave there,
mm-hmm.
Being, you know, why does this factor in any industry associations, role players and the likes?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you can take out any industry participation.
Yeah.
The moment you can prove that public health and public safety is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
So do you want to be known as a country where everyone is walking around with a vape device? No.
No.
What does that look like in terms of basic etiquette? Basic, you know, sort of like just overall basic, you know, presentation of your society. Is it really the kind of image you want to project? Mm-hmm. No. Because Helmut, even the British, even the Europeans, even the Americans, last year and the year before, they had these particular issues in terms of, are they seeing a new kind of lung ailments
related to
the new smoking trends, the new tobacco trends? You know, because currently the conventional and traditional tobacco trends that you and I know of,
mm-hmm.
older gentlemen in the 90s smoked the old school pipe,
mm-hmm.
where they bought their Dingler's black and white tobacco, put it in, put the filter in at the other end of the pipe, switched it on, and that was their pipe.
That was not the pipe. No, that was not just the pipe, Dwight. That was swag.
I know.
Yep.
I know. Do you know how enticing it is to also try and buy that pipe?
Mm-hmm.
Just to realize it costs you $1,000 to buy that thing. But anyway, that was the conventional way.
Yeah.
Ne? Then the old way of consuming tobacco products.
Yeah.
Then there was another one that I saw, for example, that baseball players still use in the US. It's a ball. It's like a cud. You call it like, but a cud, the word cud is what cattle do. You know, when cattle graze,
mm-hmm.
they've got a little pouch somewhere in their throat,
mm-hmm.
where a little ball of, what you call it? I don't want to call it like leftover grass that they swallowed. Have you ever seen cattle just chewing there without?
They're
chewing something. Yeah. But the way it was explained to us in school was that it's like a regurgitation. It's not actually.
So they have different stomach chambers, right? They have
to there's like a pre one here in the throat area.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because remember, the moment something goes to any animal's into the stomach, you've got a sphincter at the top and a sphincter at the bottom of your stomach,
uh-huh.
which closes.
Sphincter, yeah.
Yeah, you've got sphincters throughout your body, Hamad.
Thank God they are working. Now, moving on.
But I'll still stay at your stomach, mm-hmm. nowhere else. The sphincter at the top of your stomach for any live animal is obviously, that happens it opens up when the bolus of food has to travel into it. Mm-hmm. So the bolus of food travels in. Mm-hmm. But what cattle have, why cattle eat so much, is that they need to have something for later. So they are a nibbler. Yes, they're a nibbler. They are a nibbler. So when they've had their full of grazing, then they go lie down somewhere else. And you just see them chewing, but you don't see them eating from the grass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, with that particular explainer that I highlighted now there, in terms of that ball of cud, which is not the same thing of what baseball players do. They're not a different kind of human species, please guys. The thing that the baseball players buy is like, it's a moist, tobacco product in the US. They put it in the side of their mouth, Helmut. But the negative of that product is that that product turns your teeth black. It sort of like blackens your whole mouth. Cause remember, it's you're chewing on wet tobacco.
Okay. Why do they do that?
Firstly, that product is like a, is used when you're trying to quit smoking. Conventional cigarette smoking.
Yeah.
That product, it's like the nicotine patches that you put on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like the nicotine bubble gum that they also invented and created. Now that particular thing is you don't swallow. You don't swallow what you're chewing. You spit it out.
That's tricky.
Now, here's the worst part of this discussion. What many people forget is that literally your whole mouth, Helmut, your whole mouth secretes spit, ne?
Yeah.
But your whole mouth is also an absorbent.
Yeah.
Now.
So even if you're not swallowing it,
yeah,
some of it is being absorbed.
It's still being absorbed into your body. So, that was some of the old school ways in terms of tobacco products that existed. Then you have got cigars, which Cuba and South America are famous for, which you're told you don't inhale a cigar's smoke into your lungs. You are going to kill yourself in that first pull. It's like literally like one puff, one inhale is equivalent to 10 cigarettes at once. Because a cigar, Helmut, is literally a tobacco leaf. It's a rolled up tobacco leaf.
A whole leaf.
It's a leaf. You're smoking a leaf. Nice. It's like you going, you see that leaf out there on that tree. Imagine it being dried up and rolled up. That is what a cigar is.
Ouch.
You're literally smoking the raw material. The raw product. Hence the reason why even Will Smith, when in his music videos, because he likes posing in a cigar, mm-hmm. Will Smith tells you in the one song, I can't remember if it's the one of Summertime or the other one, the one that came out in 2000, where he literally says, keep the cigar in your mouth for show, don't inhale it.
So it's swag.
It's all about swag.
So it's the South American version of, actually is the, you know, our equivalent of the cigar was the pipe.
Yeah. But the pipe you smoke, the pipe is literally you smoke it into your lungs.
Yeah.
The cigar is all about pulling it into your mouth only, the chamber of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
and you blow it out. So you don't inhale anything. You just pull it into the chamber of your mouth and you blow it out. That's what you do with a cigar. Helmut, you don't want to be like these kids after smoking for 6 hours, hookah and hubbly from one cigar puff. Yes, I saw a brother who did that. One of my brothers. He bought himself one of those thin cigars, those very thin ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he had to go look up, how do you smoke a cigar? And I was like, you never knew? You don't pull it into your lungs.
I hope you are taking notes, dear listeners.
Yeah. So those are your first traditional ways of smoking. This is all about trends.
This is not the first time, this is not the first time that we are, and we are not the first one to have this conversation regarding regulations of a product that seems to be, you know, at this point abused. We use that, the word abuse a lot with regards to, with regards to alcohol. Alcohol abuse is dangerous to your health. You find that just, you find that on every bottle of alcohol containing product, alcohol containing consumable product that you find.
Mm.
Now, that's because, a beer or two is perfectly fine. A whole glass of wine, on the other hand, is too much of it. It can literally kill you. Because of overdose, or it can just make you do dumb things, like driving while you're drunk and thinking you are Vin Diesel from Fast and Furious in a public road.
Mm.
Yeah, well, on the bright side, it gives you the courage to ask your crush out, but then pretend not to remember it the next day. You know what? I think I was too. No, he wasn't. But look.
Who approaches a girl when they're drunk, bruh?
Oh, man, you must have a lot of confidence. You have to be inventive when you don't have the confidence.
Yeah. Now, I've never understood, my gender, who decides the only reason I can be brave is when I've got Dutch courage in me.
Yeah.
To talk to a girl is... do you know how...
You have to be motivated by the Scottish, the Russians.
Have you ever asked her, what did I look like when I approached you? You should see the image the image you projected of yourself in that state.
Now that you point that out, don't do it in the 21st century where there are smartphones everywhere. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think this is not the first time that we're having this discussion as a species, if I can just say, use that, because if you go back to the 1920s,
yeah,
the very same discussion was had with regards to, you know, to cigarette smoking, because when they came out, they were just as more like a fancy type, you know, trend that all these e-tobacco containing products are today.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to, you know, set one on fire and just hold it between their fingers, and it looked to, you know, well, swag.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now a lot of regulations basically have to be brought with regards to, you know, where to smoke and when. For example, back then, smoking in front of children was perfectly fine. Smoking indoors was perfectly fine. Mm. But now there are regulations actually prohibiting all those things.
Yes, they are. Here's another thing also, Hamoud. The same institution, the World Health Organization. So, okay, just for our listeners to know of, you highlighted the Tobacco Control Act of Namibia.
Yeah.
Our Tobacco Control Act actually is derived from something, which is known as the, let me just get that full name. I just had it open now, which is known as the World Health Organization's Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. And our particular Tobacco Control Act is based upon this convention, because when it came into effect in 2005,
yeah,
we had to generate this act.
Yeah.
We had to replace out of date for now. But we had to replace something else with this particular act. And once again, this is the particular avenue that these lawmakers are exploring. Once again, is our legislation and our protections in line with the current consumption trends encountered between children? Because what are some of the things that they realized, dear listeners, is that the lawmakers went to three regions,
yeah,
Hartab, Comas and Irongo.
Yeah.
They visited schools. The teenagers and children are telling these MPs they smoke it primarily in a scenario, firstly, because of the pressures that they experience. The pressures being home pressures in the household, meaning probably the parents are angry or there's a lot of, you know, things to process that are going on in the household level.
So it's been turned into a coping mechanism?
Yes, yes, coping mechanism. Second scenario is that the children believe that, you know, it helps them to concentrate in their work, to focus more on their work. When it comes to tests, other particular sort of like examples where they've got to perform, like retention of information, you know, like all that particular stuff. But at the start of this report, and I know you also read that part. Remember when they cited the South African pulmonologist?
Yeah.
A pulmonologist, dear listeners, has to do with everything to do with your rib cage. He's a special doctor. Everything to do with your rib cage. Where that pulmonologist, who's from the Groote Schuur Hospital in South Africa, which is run by UCT. Do you see the level how your medical sciences can, you know, progress if you've got a facility where your interns can work in? Meh?
Mm-hmm.
And you dispense service to people, to the greater public? So anyway, getting back on track. He highlighted specifically there that the problem currently with these latest smoking trends, these consumption trends. I won't say smoking, it's pure consumption. These latest consumption trends, when something is used to look cool or it has a certain particular social appeal or it looks a little less negative, because it's stigma, remember, and perception, negative perception,
yeah.
It looks a little less negative than a cigarette. Because remember, now you've got to consider a cigarette as like the default tobacco consumption level. It's just there. Yeah. There are no flavors there. But there are actually flavors, but there's supposedly no flavors. But when you look at the economics, the refills that these lawmakers highlighted in the, for the vapes, a vape is technically, before it becomes a gas, it was literally in a liquid form. These little juice bottles cost between $10 and $15. The device would cost you $250 to $500. But the refill is $10 to $15, which is a nothing. Accessibility.
So the accessibility is also playing, you know, contributing more into the more like, you know, a frequent use. And that is putting everyone, you know, a lot of people on a slippery slope towards addiction.
But Helmut, it's the same thing that is the issue with alcohol.
Yeah.
In Namibia. So many MPs in our country have spoken about teenage alcoholism. Teenage alcoholism.
Because it's cheap or something?
No. The accessibility. How many shebeens are there?
Oh, yeah. Well,
how many shops sell alcohol? How many this? How many that? Look at the accessibility. The more accessible the thing is, the more the messaging is, everyone can buy.
Yeah.
Even though you're supposed to ask for ID, because it says on the box, not under 18s should not consume.
Yeah.
But that is the formal business enterprises. What happens in places like Ochumise or in places like Rocky Crest or the other places of the city or even across the country?
Mm-hmm.
Accessibility is the issue.
Okay, so accessibility also means a large consumption trend and a large contribution to the economy.
Yeah.
So if you curb on accessibility, what do you do to make up for the cut in consumption and therefore economic contribution that you are going to be cutting? Do you increase the price of the product?
Exactly. And the second particular thing about control mechanisms regarding accessibility has been, you know, do the police show up at these other distribution points of products, of these kinds of products, that have socially negative implications on society? Do they show up and see whether or not the business owners are enforcing the mechanisms of, if you see it's an underage person, stop them from consuming or buying or purchasing?
I think that begins from recommendation number one.
Yeah.
You first have to to make sure that everything with regards to the products that I mentioned here, like Hubbly Bubbly and the e-cigarettes and vapes and all those products, are included in the current regulation.
Exactly.
So that then when because the police are law enforcers, they are not going to enforce something that's not there.
Yeah, or that doesn't back them up.
They'll be like, okay, I'm going to charge you for because we found you in possession of Hubbly Bubbly and you're under 18. Be like, okay, right, excellent, officer. Now, according to which law?
But the worst thing is also, Helmut, I've never seen a police officer stop an under 18 even with a packet of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are under 18s that are smoking, even in front of the police.
Really? Man, that's bold. I wish I had that courage.
Helmut, it's a question of whether or not the police are literally the police officer on the field, in the field, understands whether or not they can ask that teenager, how old are you? And if you see that teenager walking around with a 500ml beer or 750ml, which one is the quart? 750. Walking around with a 750ml beer. How old are you? Why are you holding on to that thing? And I know there are police officers that have tried to have those particular social you know, interventions by saying, please stop using children to buy or procure tobacco and alcohol products on behalf of the parents.
Because then I can easily say, well, it's not mine. My parents sent me.
Yeah. Because they don't know if that's the fact or not.
Uh-huh.
They don't know. And they know crime is being committed, so they can't confiscate. They can't take things away. For all you know, it could have been a grandparent that went like, you know what, my child, quickly go buy your granddad, you know, I need my daily sustenance of, you know, alcoholic intake. Mm-hmm. And a packet of 20 cigarettes, a packet of 20 smokes.
Now, part of the propensity, you know, part of the propensity, amendments to the legislation is classify nicotine-infused products as tobacco products and regulate them as such.
Yeah.
And then comes my most violent part of the recommendation. Ban the import, sale, hiring, and use of hubbly, bubbly, and vaping products completely. That's just one of those recommendations. They are not saying, you know, just they implement it, they, you know, come hell or high waters. They are just saying either you make amendments to regulate it, or just, you know, then they, or somewhere in between they put the, or you could just go for straight banning the product.
Well, if, and this is on one part, Helmut, where I partially agree with the almost inevitable World War III response that you got when we developed this conversation for today.
I know.
Was, if legislators and lawmakers want to go and try to recommend the banning of a product, they then have to consider alcohol products. But I know they will never touch alcohol. You and I know they will never touch alcohol because it is such a large economic contributor to the Namibian economy.
Yeah, it's like telling the Americans to ban weapons manufacturing. They'd be like, what the heck are you talking about?
Exactly. So why would you shoot yourself in the foot? But it would be easy to try and sort of like stamp out on a product that, you know what, it is the bigger evil.
So we're basically weighing options.
But alcohol has literally destroyed families. Has destroyed communities.
Yeah.
There is literal proof of it, Helmut.
Yep.
In history, documented even. In Namibian colonial history even. Mm-hmm. Alcohol has destroyed communities. This particular alcoholic products that come out of Europe.
Yeah.
Because they are most European derivatives that were just adopted and are now locally mass produced.
Mm-hmm.
Then they should just as well ban alcohol as well. Because guess what? The World Health Organization in 2023 said any kind of alcohol is bad for your health. Why do they say it? Sorry, Helmut. I'll quickly cite this.
Please.
This article. The risks and harms associated with drinking alcohol have been systematically evaluated over the years and are well documented. The WHO has published a statement in the Lancet Public Health. This was in 2023, as I referenced. When it comes to alcohol consumption, there is no safe amount that does not affect health. So, no alcohol is good for your health.
Yeah, and, you know, I think I'll just go ahead and argue that no alcohol is good for
Why?
Health.
Why? This is what they explain.
Uh-huh.
Alcohol is a toxic, psychoactive, and dependence-producing substance.
A.K.A. addiction.
Yes, and has been classified as a group 1 carcinogen.
Cancer causing.
By the International Agency for Research on Cancer.
Yeah.
This is the highest risk group, which also includes asbestos, radiation, and tobacco. So even when you're talking about the hemp discussion.
Uh-huh.
We should not confuse the two because technically in hemp, we're talking about industrial uses.
Yeah.
But the way things have been gone about has been overall cannabis usage, which obviously will tell any legislator, huh, you want to bring in another particular psychoactive product, another particular addictive product?
Mm-hmm. So we'll get to the banning, and I think we'll get to the to the banning recommendation, because for that one, yeah. The reason why I put that up on the the almost started World War III was because that's the question this raises. If you just talk about it directly from the banning standpoint,
yeah.
That okay, let's look at the possible contribute, of how much this economy contributes, of how much the sale of this product,
yeah.
And the consumption and the sale contribute to the economy, and what are the economic fallout that we'll have to deal with if we just go straight for straight up banning, which country. I think, should have been consulted also, apart from South Africa and Botswana.
Mm.
Gambia.
Why?
Sex tourism. There are two words that have been plaguing giving the parliamentarians in that country a headache. Mm. So, one, it's not a good, it's not a very, it doesn't give the country a very good reputation. It doesn't. Now, number two, their young people are now, running around with retirees flying from all over the world.
Yeah.
Now that's that's the second one.
But that's the same issue that Thailand also has. Philippines also has.
Yeah.
I think Vietnam also has that issue.
Now, what that comes to is the tourism part. They contribute to the tourism
directly
like by a whopping margin.
Yeah.
So now, one of the biggest debate that's been going on is because now I think that was this has been going on. I think been following. I looked it up. I think it goes back all the way back to 2003, maybe even earlier than that.
Mm.
That what is the Gambian government going to do?
Mm.
Are they going to ban this type? And for one, it's not like you have a machine that can show you at the airport that this is a sex tourist and this is a regular tourist. You'll have no way of telling.
But that's the, Helmut, you are completely right on the head with that discussion, because Kenya has had that same problem.
Oh yeah.
Tanzania has had that same problem.
Zanzibar. Jamaica these days.
Jamaica's because of the United States. Who's the other one? There's another African country that has also had a huge sex tourism issue. So it's Gambia. No, it's not Nigeria.
No. Scamming, yes.
But not sex tourism. There's another one. It's... The...
Nigerians don't let them come to the country. No, they just steal their money and, just pay with it.
A sneaky suspicion is also Madagascar. I say sneaky.
Sneaky suspicion.
Because yeah. Madagascar is French speaking. We don't get so much.
French based,
out of French based, societies. So, yeah, you are right, Helmut. You are right.
Now, so that is basically the dilemma here. So what do we do? And so far, this is basically comes to the difficulty in regulating it. And, and you can't say for developing countries like them, they can't just say, from now moving forward, no more tourists.
Mm.
Like, how do you even pull that off? Because people are going to travel in and out of your country, and it will be very difficult to tell, to sort of like police each and every single person that's coming into your country, on what they are doing, because now you're dealing with privacy issues. Yeah. And then up next. Also recommend, it's either that, if you don't, it's either regulate or go for straight up banning, or more like, then we are back to regulation again, where they propose that, they propose the prohibition of, the sale of tobacco products to minors below the age of 18. The same, the same regulation we have with alcohol.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's also very difficult, Helmut, because like you said, the police can also just do as much.
There's only so much they can do.
To demand of the police to now sort of like be the stick without there being a hand, meaning the legislation or a law,
yeah,
is also another particular issue.
It's too much to ask.
Yeah. Even though the police have in history in Namibia, they themselves have caused questionable things. Like, for example, those particular operations they had in conjunction with the NDF, where people got beaten up,
That was a bad idea.
I still don't know what the real impact of those operations were.
People got beaten, that's for sure.
But not the they're not the criminals in most cases. Well, in some cases, you had extremes like people that were shot running away from the police or from the NDF guys, because NDF guys are not police.
No.
They're not
police.
That's
why I'm saying that was a bad, that was a bad idea.
Yeah. Which should have been more of a question of, and this is something that continuously even came out of from the GBV protests of 2020. Mm-hmm. The people said, or most of those protesters said, the police have to be visible. Police have to be visible. The police must patrol. The police must not have roadblocks like the one that I bumped into last year my way home.
I'm not sure if the... Sorry, guys, but I don't think you are setting up roadblocks these days. We're just playing hide and go seek.
Hide and here we are.
Yeah, hi. License.
License. So, what's wrong with your lights? Ish, bro, is there something wrong with the lights? Yeah, come look. Now you have to get out.
Uh huh.
You thought you could explain your way out of things, but anyway, I'm not implicating myself. I mean, I am a driver. I've bumped into the police
several times.
Bunch of times.
There's there's one truck driver that made a whole video made me understand just how easy we have it in terms of dealing with with the broke police officers. According to him, Namibia is the best country he's ever driven into, where he just drove through one roadblock to another without being told to bring the right papers before passing.
Is he Zambian?
I think so.
Or is it Botswana?
I think it's either Zambian, DRC, Angola, somewhere in this area.
Yeah, because they're the guys that you would see on your way to the coast. Or if you're driving now, obviously, you're from the Zambezi Kavango East region through that national highway network, you would see those trucks.
Yeah, he was like, every time that he drives in Namibia, when you come across a roadblock, the police officers are just asking for your driver's license and every documents relating to the vehicle and your driving, your legality to be driving that particular vehicle and the particular products. That's it.
Yeah.
Not those ones that, and that's one thing he basically points out, they don't go around your car trying to find something that is faulty. So that they can just extort money out of you.
Mm.
That's like, hang on a second. We don't appreciate a lot of things that takes place in our country because maybe a lot of us don't travel a lot. So I know I shouldn't be congratulating you guys before the 20th, but I'll bring that up again on the 19th. Now, another recommendation is prohibit the open display. Now, this is the marketing now. The attractiveness that, if you look at the products here, these flavors, I thought it was, green tea. And then you look at the types of electronic devices, it's all coming in. And also, you can't blame the people that are actually making these things because if you're going to sell a product, it's everyone's, you really have to make it attractive.
Mm.
Yeah. And, cigarette smoking, cigarette smoking was a very booming business, especially in the 80s and 70s and basically backwards. And that's because, it was seen a lot in movies. You watch Sylvester Stallone's movie, Rambo is, in the middle of his, kicking butt, he's smoking.
Mm.
Yeah. And he's actually one of those actors that made a lot of money from the tobacco companies because they signed a lot of sort of like endorsement deals with him so he can have, one of two cigarettes in his movie so that everyone who wants to have the six pick, or more like the six pick is gone now, Tafel Tami is, there's no Tafel in the US, and now you have all this, I need a lawyer after this. So they had all these endorsements and then smoking was glamorized.
Mm.
And because of that, a lot of people basically gravitated towards it. So a lot of countries like Australia were some of those countries that went on a serious crackdown on, making tobacco companies label their products, you know, more like in a way that they are not misinforming people about the dangers of the, you know, of those particular products.
Yeah.
Which is why every, you know, cigarette, you know, or most, if not all the cigarette, packs that you see these days have these, gory looking pictures of someone's lungs or someone's rotten nostril and, you know,
and teeth.
I mean, that's.
And throat. You... Which I suspect in most cases is probably crystal meth images. Especially like the throat and the teeth scenario.
Yeah, look, a lot of people, you know, like to say, well, you can label for all. We have gotten into, I mean, we have used a door that is written exit only before to get in. So it's, I think, okay, communicating is a good thing, but really?
Helmut, really?
Why? Moving on. While he's thinking about it, now prohibit advertising and marketing of all hookah pipes, flavors, vapes, and e-cigarettes on all media platforms. Wow.
Yep.
Okay. That's a.
It's excessive. But it obviously speaks towards the issue, because the thing that I just showed you from the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
It literally speaks to that particular discussion of use legislation to discourage the attractive labeling.
Okay.
And the palatability labeling, meaning making something palatable.
Mm-hmm.
For example, by saying, oh, try our new mint product, our new mint tobacco product, or our new apple flavored tobacco product, or our new strawberry flavored tobacco product. Because remember, these MPs are technically researching something from the most basic of research points is go into the field and go and see if this is something that really exists.
Yeah.
They spoke to children, they spoke to teenagers, and the teenagers told them, oh, we love it because these various flavors, plus our friends do it.
Peer pressure now comes in.
They didn't mention peer pressure in the report.
Our friends? Oh, no, it doesn't mention
that. Yeah, but they said our friends use it, we use it. It looks better than drinking. It looks better than drinking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times, a lot of them, and this is where the addiction actually starts in Helmut. When they come to school, before they come to school, a lot of them smoke it before coming to school.
Okay, now with the accessibility, it's portable and you can have it all the time, so you are most likely going to like use it more frequently. Yeah, I remember, you know, I remember one YouTube video that I watched on like, you know, like the pros and cons of fast charging technology for your electronic devices, like smartphones, for example. That, the positive side about fast charging technology is that your phone is going to get full in a short amount of time compared to the non-fast charging technology electronic devices. But, the problem is that, that depletes that shortens the lifespan of your battery because you're frequently using it and you're frequently charging it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with this one, because of the accessibility, like you pointed out, now what you have is, you can have it anywhere you're going with you.
But
and then your frequency of using it also goes up.
Yeah. But then in that same sentence, the teenagers highlighted to the MPs, but they don't take it along to school because it's too cumbersome to carry, meaning it's too big.
Yeah. The hubbly pattern.
The whole hubbly contraption is too big to put in the backpack.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes too conspicuous and they are prone to being confiscated by the teachers at the school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without showing like pure proof in terms of, whether or not, these particular tobacco products actually, induce different kinds of behavior at school, meaning the antisocial, the ill discipline, the aspects of, rebellious learners and the attitudes towards teachers and the authority that teachers are supposed to have in the school setting is that, literally the MPs also heard this from the discussion that many learners who are regular users and consumers of
Hubbly Bubbly, the vapes, and the other particular tobacco, new tobacco trend products.
Yeah.
They usually display rebellious behavior, antisocial behavior, ill discipline. They even sort of like have a very rebellious attitude towards teachers. The teachers don't.
That'll be difficult to tell between what's being caused by tobacco products and what's exactly being caused by testosterone and progesterone.
Exactly. Which could also just be that this is someone that's...
Hormonal changes.
Yeah, this is as their body are obviously trying to adapt to things and the stuff like that. Because the most difficult time frame for any human being on Earth has always been that 15 or 14 to 19 year age.
Yeah, that's
those 5 years are the worst.
The worst.
You have to understand... whether or not you are, you like the opposite gender or not, or, yeah, people think about those things.
Really?
They try to decipher what is their use in, on this planet. They have to identify what are emotions, what jokes they can and cannot make, those nuances that you find in society, those particular things. And the teachers now want to try and impose, obviously, discipline in the school. And then you have this sort of like clash, which also feeds
in. And the same thing is taking place at home.
Yeah, but remember, what I'm explaining now is literally explaining our education discussion of Tuesday. Why there's an oversupply of teachers in one segment of our education phases, because no one wants to deal with someone's hormone-charged teenager at a school. I mean, you don't want to run the threat, Helmut, of being, you know, footed under a pool table at school, as that teacher. Literally. You don't want to. Not that anyone was footed under a pool table, but yeah. So that's part of the issues. Now, I can't see a correlation in that. It was a poor illustration of cause and effect, meaning causality was very low. However, you can see that because we've all been in high school in Namibia, we do know of such particular rebellious behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Helmut, it was pretty... Okay, I knew of students that were borderline criminals on my school. They were borderline criminals, Helmut, but they didn't drink. They didn't smoke.
Yeah, he need to focus to rob a bank. Sorry, guys.
That is true. But they didn't smoke and they didn't drink.
So,
now, explain the causality in terms of someone that has pure evil intentions to cause a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, a crime is against the Constitution.
Yeah.
Versus someone who is using a substance that they explained to you in the first part of the report that they need to cope.
You know why I'm more on the standing committee's recommendation on the, you know, no accessibility of this product to under 18.
Yeah.
It's because of one study. I used this on my show, I think earlier this week on my morning show. It's from Harvard Health Publishing, you know, Harvard Medical School. And they were looking into a type of lung disease known as popcorn lung disease. Now, the reason why it's called popcorn lung disease is when you suffer from this disease and you are put through an X-ray, your whole chest where your lungs are literally looks on a scan like, you know, someone shoved popcorns in there.
So it's got little nodules.
Yeah, like little nodules. And the problem is with that is that, so now you need like to breathe heavily for you to take in enough air that is needed by your body. So like you need to breathe twice as heavy for you to take in the air, the air that an average person of your size needs. Like, like someone that doesn't have this problem will just be breathing properly. But if you have this problem, you will be breathing more like heavily so that because your lung is just not having the absorbable surface area that it used to because of the, you know, inflammations and wounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, according to Harvard Medical School, popcorn lung disease is a medical name, bronchitis something obliterans. I'm assuming that's not for obliteration. Because boy, that's scary. See, this is the fun I have in my morning show.
You've got to read the whole name, Helmut. What is that? Bronch
bronchiolitis obliterans.
Okay.
Yeah, has nothing to do with trans. Now, well, it's a rare condition in which lung damage starts in small airways in the lungs called bronchioles. And it can also be caused by inhaled chemicals, lung infections, and autoimmune disease or rejection of transplanted lungs. Now, although the bronchioles may heal normally, sometimes the inflammation subsequent healing process causes scar tissues to build up. Now, what does that have to do with today's discussion of vaping and e-cigarette products, tobacco containing products? Popcorn lung was first discovered in workers at a microwave popcorn plant, hence the name popcorn lung disease. Now, they had breathing problems that were found to be caused by by inhaling.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat spice, poikis ready, even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get it without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassimber. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome. We have 9 minutes now. Where was I? Popcorn lung was first discovered in workers at microwave popcorn plant, and they had breathing problems that were found to be caused by inhaling a butter-flavored chemical called diacetyl and many other chemicals, including chlorine and formaldehyde, can also be caused by this condition. Now, formaldehyde and this diacetyl is also mentioned as some of those products that are used as flavoring agents in e-cigarettes.
So,
fasten a seatbelt.
Now, that's where I believe, Helmut. This is how...
That's why I'm saying, young people, please. Because, at this point, I'm talking about, future workforce.
No, but you are completely right, Helmut, because the particular subject matter has been about looking at a weird trend popping up in people that are still in school.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be still in school. They're supposed to be still maintaining, good, students and all that kind of other subject matter. We're diligently going to school. We're paying attention. We are subscribing to the correct, particular sort of like mentality of nation building and all that. But lo and behold, there's something chewing here at the bottom.
Yeah.
There is literally. Now, I actually want to read that part, Helmut, of the South African doctor that they cited in this discussion.
Oh, in the report.
In the report regarding this. So, you obviously already made reference to the Tobacco Products Control Act of Namibia.
Yeah.
But they also cited a reference, or they referenced something in terms of which is under Section 5 of this report, known as the harmful effects of Hubbly Bubbly and Hookah. So they referenced the CDC, who said using a hookah to smoke tobacco poses serious health risks to both people who are smoking and those exposed to the smoke. Hookah is not less harmful than smoking cigarettes. Despite the smoke being filtered through water, when you smoke hookah, you expose yourself to the highly addictive chemical nicotine, heavy materials, tar, and high levels of toxic agents. But then, and this is where things get a little bit darker. Because this, we are now talking about the development of the person, meaning their body is still busy developing.
And this includes not just lungs, it also includes brain. So it's known as Section 6 of this report, the consultation with an expert on effects of the Hubbly Bubbly hookah in this report. Now, they cited a professor known as Professor Richard Van Zyl Smit, a consultant pulmonologist and the head of smoking cessation and adolescent respiratory services at the Division of Pulmonology and the UCT Lung Institute at Grote Schuur Hospital and the UCT in South Africa, who argued, so they're also referencing what he says, who argued that the major concern that is generally ignored by the vaping industry is that the negative effects of nicotine along with other vaping-produced chemicals on the young brain and lungs. So this individual is still developing.
Yeah.
Now, Van Zyl Smit apparently stressed that adolescent lungs are still developing and exposure to any unnecessary toxins during the growth phase, such as tobacco, cannabis, and electronic cigarettes, should be prevented. He cited that the adolescent brain is developing and is particularly sensitive to nicotine. Exposure to nicotine amongst learners is high and widespread, which should be a cause for alarm. So, if you really want to know, guys, it's a chemical interfering with chemical processes in your body. So if you didn't know, you also had chemicals naturally in you. So that I just also state
the ones that are, you know, just doing their jobs to keep you in the healthy status that you are.
Yeah. And to keep functions flowing.
External, they can be more like hampered by, you know, all the foreign products that you put in your body, especially when you're in the growth, growth stage, more like a developmental stage, which is it said that we are still in a growth stage until 25.
Yeah.
I thought it was 21.
I also thought it was 21, but he obviously now referenced the brain aspect predominantly.
Yeah.
So that is also still supposedly in development up until the age of 25. And it's this kind of subject matter, this kind of discussion, Hamoud, that should tell people out there, specifically those parents, pay attention to what your kids are doing.
Yeah.
That's all. Well, obviously, I'll say that because I don't have kids myself, but pay attention. Even the worst case scenario that most of the parents know that the kids are smoking these things.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario because, well, you know, I on the popcorn, Harvard discussion.
Yeah.
Is the product that was causing lung problems in the popcorn, industry. Obviously, we're talking about, movie theaters here. That's where you eat a lot of popcorns.
Yes.
Yeah. Now,
not after, to spoil anyone's popcorn appetite, but yes.
I eat a lot of popcorn.
It's actually one of the best ways to lose weight, eating popcorn, yeah.
Oh, you were, last time I went there, because I go for large everything, I had large. I didn't finish that thing, it's really big. But the good thing is they allow you to put everything in your bag and go home and finish it when you're watching your news, football, whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after they noticed that, butter flavoring chemical known as Destel was causing, the lung problems for all the workers at the popcorn microwave, areas, they decided to discontinue the use of that chemical in the popcorn making industry. But the problem is, it's one of the, it's one of those chemical flavors that is, chemicals that are used as flavoring agents that is used in some flavored e-cigarettes and, in some e-cigarettes. Now, vaping involves heating a liquid and inhaling the aerosol into the lungs. That's a whole different discussion. But that specific chemical known as diacetyl, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is one that is basically, arouses a lot of alarm bells for me with regards to allowing these products to be used by children. Because like you just pointed out, they are still under development. And if it's a problem, I mean, if the chemical was too toxic to the point where they, you know, they decided to take it out of, you know, popcorn flavoring.
Yeah.
And then, when did we just turn around and say, well, maybe it was terrible for flavoring, but, you know, it will be good for, you know,
smoking.
Like, when did it become holy?
Inhalation.
Yeah. Inhalation is the reason why it was banned in the first place.
Yeah.
And
just for it to be repurposed and used once again in inhalation. Directly into inhalation.
So, and obviously this is the, you know, this is the, this is not going to happen in 15 minutes of you e-vaping.
I mean.
Or you're like, more like, using a cigarette, an e-cigarette.
I mean, Helmut, okay, at least the particular subject matter that we are touching on is one based upon the lawmakers were told, heard, and saw that there's a social issue.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and obviously they went and did the best, closest 360 degree analysis of what they could do.
Yeah.
If you look at, for example, something like the one report that I saw from the US where Donald Trump's mining policy has been about, for coal mining specifically, has been about, you know, bringing back jobs for coal miners in coal mining dependent towns in the US. Many of those miners that work in those coal mines suffer from black lung disease. And if people don't know what black lung disease is, it's literally something that you just highlighted now. It's a specific, and it's a deteriorating, it's an ugly deteriorating disease, your
respiratory system,
on your lungs.
Yeah.
Black lung disease is specifically supported by the American public sector health initiatives,
mm-hmm.
which is now going to be cut because of those particular budget proposals that came through from Donald Trump. But that's a particular kind of sort of like the opposite of our subject matter being the government trying to now promote job creation in a sector that has a great negative to human health.
And the environment.
So the particular subject matter once again is about, you know, where do you draw the line? Because the banning subject or the banning topic in the recommendations would speak about, okay, do you now stop the business owner of the vaping shops that I've seen in the malls?
Mm-hmm.
Do you stop him now from operating a business?
From openly displaying them.
Yeah. And from selling and from distributing and from hiring and creating jobs. Because
then he will be like, well, because I'm losing revenue, I've got to let some of the workers go.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a he. But that particular enterprise has literally, they've expanded how much? From one shop, they've expanded a lot.
You know, like you pointed out earlier, this is a double-edged sword.
No, it is. It literally is. It's an ugly double-edged sword because the question you've got to ask is, do economic interests trump social interests?
Yeah.
Social welfare interests. Because this is about maintaining a healthy society so that you can have healthy members of society contributing to the same economy
mm-hmm.
in future. And that most of these are future contributors.
Yep.
They don't have jobs yet. They're still on high school. They're still on primary school because the youngest was supposedly a 10-year-old.
Okay.
In the report, it was a 10-year-old that they cited.
Yeah, so it's 3 minutes past the hour of six. Obviously, that brings us to the end of a home run and business and economic segment. Time o'clock. For yours truly here, actually let's just take a break and then sign off on the other side. Please do stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Speaking of signing off, all in all, this is the double-edged sword part of it is that we have to, we are to some degree, although it not, not embarrassing on the same level with what the Gambians have to deal with.
Mm.
That, what do we have to do? We have to protect young people, and then sacrifice some dollars in economic loss? Or do we, protect the economic loss and put in some kind of stringent regulations to basically, instead of going up for straight up banning? And also you have to understand, going for straight up banning does not mean it's going to bring a stop to everything. If anything, it will only put us in the, well, every time you ban, so you completely ban something, you create what I call an Al Capone situation.
Will be a black market.
There will be a black market, and that's when things become very expensive, and you have no way of regulating what flavor is in there of what is contained in what's being sold.
Yeah.
So that's where you now have to, this becomes a very complicated discussion when you look at it from that, from that point.
Filled with compromise. Potential compromises.
Yeah.
Now, just before we end off, Helmut, there's another particular scenario that also stems up from this, because remember with the Gambia situation, it was a phenomena that was observed. But imagine now, you see the phenomena, but you know that your government has no capability of monitoring and evaluation. This specific standing committee cite there that they have the mandate to monitor developments happening. So this means that they can also, on the whim of an idea, of an observation, decide, you know what, let's go and try and understand this particular phenomena better.
Mm-hmm.
They do so, they come back, they generate a report, which should highlight to anyone that specifically, in my eyes, that is a good approach. That is the good, the best behavior to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are now waiting on, let's say, the Ministry of Health, to potentially observe that there is an ugly
increase in lung problems.
In lung problems in teenagers.
Then compile a report.
And children 5 years from now.
Then you have a problem.
Then you have a big problem. And remember, these people are not yet disclosing or saying what are their issues to the fullest extent. They're just giving the the immediate complications that they can now reference and cite.
Well, like they say, better is prevention than cure. So with that, we leave you in the hands of David with business and economic segment. For me, you all have a good evening.
Let's see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow, guys.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apili kwa mavchaziva. Mvele kisema app ato wakasi nchavu kamso. Zakale liferile, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba ep, mwikutwe kulimusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilini, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyari ziramulimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hamasfera sesfa ep ya imba, ize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Africans, nizengwi zengata. Muluri zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera.